Well, over the last number of Tuesday evenings, I've had a lovely time with a group of parishioners online. We've been considering the great poem by Alighieri Dante, The Divine Comedy. And we've been guided by Bishop Robert Barron, who has such a love for this poem and an understanding of it. And the more you delve into the Divine Comedy, Bishop Barron says you're given a sense of the Catholic imagination. And in the first part of the Divine Comedy, it's called the Inferno. And in this part of the poem, there are these nine concentric circles that go all the way down to the pit of hell. And interestingly, for Dante, at the very heart of hell is not a fire, and you think there would be because it's called the Inferno. It's hotter towards the top, but by the time you get to the bottom, it is pure ice. And Satan is this huge dragon-like figure who has three mouths that are a parody of the Trinity. And the thing about him is he is frozen in the ice. This is what Dante wants to tell us about a hellish life. It is static and it is lifeless. It is static and it is lifeless. Now remember, I said there are these three mouths, and in each of the mouths there are three people who represent the fraudulent, the treacherous, those who are betrayers. On either side are Cassius and Brutus, and they have their feet in these mouths and their heads are sticking out. Why those two? Because they betrayed Julius Caesar. In the middle mouth is Judas Iscariot. But unlike Brutus and Cassius, who are in feet first, Judas is in head first. And forever and ever and ever, he is being gnawed by Satan, but never consumed. Now, the question is, why? Why does Dante depict them this way? And why is the fraudulent, the betrayer, represented as the worst sinner? And I think this is the reason. It's because betrayal is that which is most contrary to love. Betrayal is that which is most contrary to love. Therefore, the greatest betrayer of them all is the one who, with a kiss, handed Jesus over to his enemies. Now get this. For 30 pieces of silver. What's the significance of that? That's what you would pay to buy a slave. 30 pieces of silver. And in that gospel reading for today, there are three questions, aren't there? The first is, so what are you going to give me? Asks Judas. The last is, surely not I, Lord. And then in the middle, the question, Lord, where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover for you? Isn't that interesting? At the very heart of our gospel today is the institution or the preparation for the institution of the meal of love. And on either side of that question are the questions of the betrayer. Now, what does this mean for us? You see, we always live in a world where we're asking the questions, what's in it for me? Or, Lord, how would you have me to prepare for you? What's in it for me? Or how would you have me prepare for you? In our first reading, there's a beautiful expression of what it is to live as those who are asking the question, Lord, what do you want me to prepare for you? I love the way St. Augustine said it. He put it this way. He said, your life is God's gift to you. Your life is God's gift to you. What you do with your life is your gift to God. Isn't that great? What you do with your life is your gift to God. And in that first reading from Isaiah, We have a beautiful understanding of what it means for us to say, God, thank you for this day, for the gift of my life. Now, I'm going to give my life as a gift back to you. And Isaiah puts it this way. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I am not rebellious. It is so hard to listen to the voice of God. Do you know the majority of people, adults who come to confession, what they confess is, I really have trouble praying. More than anything else, that's the primary sin that people confess. No wonder we live in a world of so many distractions. We live in a world where it's always being asked, so what's in it for me? Oh, and then the second thing that people say is, I really have trouble concentrating at Mass. I get really distracted. No wonder. In a world of so many distractions, how hard it is for us to sit quietly. Blaise Pascal said most of the problems in the world would be solved if people learned to be able to sit quietly in a room alone with God. How we need to grow in this, my beloved. How we need to say, Lord, open my ear, awaken my heart. Allow me to live this day in such a way that I will live a focused life in a distracted world. Again, hearing our text from Isaiah, and of course this is Jesus. I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. How we need to affirm this truth. He who vindicates us is near. And he invites us to grow in being men and women of loyalty, of trustworthiness. For you see, here's the profound truth. What happened to Judas? His ways led to him being consumed by the devil, and he's the devil's forever. As we understand that we don't want to be consumed by the devil, but we want to consume Jesus, then that conversion of heart continues to happen, where we discover what it is to be in the one who is love. If you have your Missalette on page 111, there is this beautiful quote from St. Paul of the Cross with which I want to end. And this kind of summarizes everything. The passion of Jesus is the sea of sorrows, but it is also the ocean of love. Listen to these words. Ask the Lord to teach you to fish in this ocean. Wow. Lord, teach me to fish in the ocean of love. Dive into the depths. No matter how deep you go, you will never reach the bottom. How different is this vision of the depths from the depths of Dante's Inferno? May you discover more fully in these holy days the wonder of his love.